Okay, good morning everyone. I'm one of the faculty level coordinators, Elisa, another Elisa. Elisa Heimovaara from the Faculty of Education and Psychology, and I was happy to see that many of you are actually my students. And for my students, we will meet tomorrow at 1:15 in our faculty building, Ruusupuisto building, just down the hill. For the faculty level information session. But today, for all of you, I'm here talking about the academic practices in our university. So, in a nutshell, the contents of this presentation are as follows, as you can see there. So planning your studies, registering for courses, modes of study, written assignments, exams, assessment and grades, contact with the staff, and questions and answers. There is a lot of information in my presentation, and unfortunately I have to rush through a little bit, but hopefully we will have some time to discuss. And please feel free to ask questions if something is unclear or you want to comment on something. Good. Before I begin, I just wanted to show you the structure of university studies to you. So we have the bachelor's level studies and master's level studies. Most of you will be choosing courses from these programs. But then as our postgraduate studies, we have also the licentiate, which is almost obsolete nowadays, and then the PhDs. And some of you might be also doctoral level exchange students. I know that at least in our faculty we have a couple. Good. Okay. So one academic year here in Finland equals to 60 ECTS credits. And for the non-European students among you, an ECTS credit is basically a European concept that was meant to unify the university studies in the extent of university studies in the European Union. So the abbreviation comes from European Credit Transfer System, ECTS. And one ECTS credit equals 27 hours of student work in our university. So what is included? What work is included in a credit? Anything you do for the course. There may be the lectures or demonstrations or seminars, you know, any kind of contact teaching, or group work, pair work, independent work, exams and exam preparation time. So when you are reading the materials for the examination or reading the materials for your written assignments, and then the actual time for writing the assignment. As you can understand, this 27 hours per credit is a purely theoretical concept. It may take you only 16 hours, and somebody else may have to spend 30 hours per credit, because depending on the course and on your study habits. Our academic calendar looks like this, and as you are well aware, we are living through the spring term, spring semester 2020, and our spring term is divided into two periods. Some faculties, some departments follow the periods pretty carefully, so that they may have one course within one period. But for example, in my faculty, in the Faculty of Education and Psychology, it doesn't really, we don't really follow the period system. So we have courses that may overlap two periods. And there is no sort of examination week or anything between the two periods in my faculty, for example. But we have an official Easter break the week preceding Easter, and this year it's going to be from the 6th to 13th of April. And that means that during that week there is no contact teaching at the university. So if you're planning a trip to Lapland, that might be a good time to visit there. Okay. And then we have a summer period, which is after the sort of official spring term. And this year it's going to be from the 25th of May to the 30th of June. And during the summer period, most of the faculties don't necessarily have any contact teaching, at least not in English, but we do have our summer school in human sciences. And I'm certain that Anna Maria is going to tell you a bit more about the summer school. Or Sanna, at some part of the orientation program, are you? Okay, possibly, probably, maybe. Anyway, we are going to send you information by email about our summer school in human sciences, which is a separate program after the end of the summer, of the spring term. Right. I have also listed some other sort of national holidays where the university is closed. So the 1st of May is probably the next one after that you will encounter after Easter, and then the Ascension Day, which is the 21st of May this year. Please note that depending a little bit on your major subject, your program here, you may have some examinations or deadlines for submitting written assignments after the official end of the fourth period. Okay. Any questions regarding the dates? Everything clear? Okay, good. So, planning your studies. You are all going to be here for one semester, right? Yeah. So, approximately 30 ECTS credits per semester is the recommended amount. But please check with your home universities, because I know that some of your home universities may be satisfied with fewer credits, especially if you are doing courses for your home university simultaneously to being here or writing your thesis or something. But usually we recommend the students to choose approximately 30 credits per semester. So, to begin with, on Friday, when you will be able to log on to SISU and register for the courses, you should do your personal study plan. And as they told you, we have this new computer system called SISU for course registration, seeing your transcript of records, the grades for the courses that you have passed. And in the new SISU system, you actually have to create a personal study plan in ABLE for you to enroll for the courses. And I and my colleagues from the other faculties, we have sort of created, in a way, it's an artificial study program for you. For example, in my faculty, it's called the Exchange Studies at the Faculty of Education and Psychology. So you can search for that and then choose which courses you want to take, and then you will be able to enroll for the courses. And why this is important is that if you do not have the courses in your study plan, the credits and grades for the courses will not be transferred properly in the system. But this is something that your tutors and your faculty level coordinators will help you with. And I think it was part of the orientation program tomorrow that you are going to be introduced to the mysteries of SISU in closer detail. Okay. So, which courses can you choose? We are mostly pretty flexible regarding the course registration and the study rights in our university. But of course, because you are here through certain agreements between universities and faculties and departments, I assume most of you will be choosing courses primarily from your host department or host faculty in the case of School of Business and Economics, for example. It is possible to choose courses from other faculties as well, within certain limits. So please notice that there are restrictions regarding courses with very few study places, for example, or which require previous experience in the field or previous studies in the field, for example. As an example, I could mention the internship or the practice courses in our faculty. So we have, for example, a kindergarten practice, but it is only for those students who will actually graduate to be early childhood teachers back home in their home universities. Okay. But we have, as Agi and Laura mentioned earlier, wonderful courses at the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication regarding, well, foreign languages and academic English communication, multilingual communication, intercultural issues, so plenty to choose from there as well. And as I have written here, please pay attention to the prerequisites of the courses, and whether it is a basic level, intermediate level, or advanced course. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Just about all of our courses that are taught this year or last year or in 5 years ago in our university can be found in the SISU system, but it does not mean that they are going to be taught this year or that they are going to be taught in English or that you can actually choose them. So ask your international, your faculty level international coordinators about the possibilities if there is something that is not clear to you. Okay, and then I promise to explain about these systems. So in SISU you can see the courses, and before the name of the course you have the course code. And the first three digits tell you the subject. And I have included some information, some examples there, like, for example, TIE stands for Tietotekniikka, so information technology. PSY, logically enough, is psychology. And then XEN is English at the Language Center, or, well, at the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. And then the fourth digit tells you the level of the studies. So if the fourth digit is P, that's like basic studies, so the first year studies, then A stands for second or third year studies, so intermediate level, and S is advanced level, so master's level studies, fourth or fifth year. And sometimes you can also see a J, which stands for PhD level studies, for those of you who are doctoral students. Any questions about this? Sometimes you may see something else like a zero or O, and that is usually, orientation studies, so the very first thing, the very first courses a student does when they come to university. Okay. As I said, registering for the courses is nowadays done through the SISU program. And they have, each course in SISU has a separate registration period. And as we were just told, you can start registering for the courses in SISU on Friday. Don't panic if a course you wanted to take has a registration period that has ended before Friday. Talk to your faculty level coordinator. They can add you to a course, manually. Especially regarding the multilingual communication, Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, the language courses that are organized by that, I suggest that you go for the first meeting to see whether there is room in the courses. Unfortunately, many of the students have a habit of registering for several courses just to be, on the safe side. And then when they decide not to go eventually, they do not remove their registration. So even if it says that there is no room, it might be worth the trouble to go there and see what the situation actually is. And hence my next point. If you decide to drop a course, please cancel your registration so that the next one in line will get accepted to the course. Okay. We do not have a strict deadline for changing your learning agreement or study plan or removing courses from your study plan and removing your registrations, but of course the sooner the better. So if you know right next week that you are not going to take a course that you registered for, please remove your registration. Okay. In most cases, the courses in CISU have this registration deadline, as I said, but the participation in a course will be confirmed only after the end of the registration period. And this can be a little bit confusing, not only for you, but for us as well. Because in theory, this means that you won't be certain of your participation in a specific course before the end of the registration period. Once again, ask for help from your faculty level coordinator if there is a course that you absolutely must have to complete for your home university in order not to repeat the entire semester back home. They will be able to help you with the registration and make certain that the teachers of the courses know that you will have to do this course. Okay. Several functions in CISU: course information, registration for courses, doing your personal study plan there. You will see also your transcript of records, course descriptions, and grades and credits there as well. It functions in English and in Finnish. So please, if you when you log on to the CISU system, you can change the language of operation there. And after that, you should be able to log into that in English all the time. Please keep your email address and other contact information updated in CISU, because we check for the students' contact information from there. And if you have difficulties with, the technical side of CISU, you could contact the CISU administration, and I have included the email address there. And as I told you, this is a new system and very much still in the process of being developed. We started implementing it last autumn, so in September, and it's been quite a steep learning process, I have to say, and there are still a lot of challenges that we encounter when we encounter them. You know, when people use it, we notice the mistakes and the problems that the system still has. So please try and be patient and ask for help if something is totally incomprehensible for you. Okay. Very quickly, I'm going to talk about modes of study. It's practically impossible to say anything really, something general about the entire university, because the modes of study vary a lot from faculty to faculty and from subject to subject. I have mentioned some typical modes of study here. So we have lectures and seminar, demonstration classes, group work, pair work, presentations, examinations, various kinds of examinations, but usually not oral examinations. We tend to be very heavily dependent on written exams and written assignments. And you can see, most likely you won't be able to see anything, at least not from the back of the class. But this is an example of a course outline as it appears in CISU. So it shows you the name of the course and the code of the course. Is this one functioning? Nah. Oh, yeah. So here is the name of the course and the code of the course and the number of credits, 5 credits, this one. And here is some basic information about the course, the languages of teaching, although I have to warn you that there has been a lot of mistakes in CISU regarding the language. What your international coordinator, faculty-level coordinator, tells you about the courses tomorrow, you might want to listen carefully because they have the most up-to-date information regarding the courses taught in English in their faculties. Here is the grading scale. Usually we have the 0 to 5 grading scale, 0 being fail, 5 being the best grade. Here are the organizations responsible for organizing the course and the teacher who is responsible for this specific course. The course description with learning outcomes, contents, completion methods, and assessment details can also be seen in CISU. And eventually, the times. This is from last semester. So times and places are mentioned also in here. And I would also advise you to check the exceptions and additional information, because funnily enough, if there is some extra information, like for example, there is a guest lecturer for one of the sessions, it won't show here, unfortunately. You can only see it under the exceptions and additional information. So worth checking every now and then. Okay, but they will talk to you more about CISU tomorrow. Is there anything that you would like to ask about this? No? Okay. Did you have a question? No? Okay. Okay, so something that would be quite important to notice. So in some cases, I don't think they actually use this confirmation of registration at the moment. I think I will just pass that. But so it is possible that some of your courses overlap. Depending a little bit on your major subject or the department that you are visiting here, attendance may or may not be compulsory. So once again, check with your coordinator. Usually if you have like one overlap, it's not that big a deal. But if you have 2 courses that overlap continuously, you know, just about every week, then I just suggest that you drop one of the courses, unless it is possible to do the course totally without attendance. There are a lot of practices regarding this. For example, the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication is very strict about the attendance, as is the Department of Languages and Communication. And in most cases, our faculty is also pretty strict. The size of the classes vary quite a lot. We have a lot of small seminar group work based courses, but we also have some very big mass lecture type of teaching sessions as well. It would be very important for you to try and attend the first session of the course, because during the first session, the teacher should, and I emphasize, should tell you, you know, the criteria for assessment, the requirements for the course. So is it going to be a written assignment, an essay, a learning diary, an examination or whatnot? And what are the guidelines for writing the assignment as well? If you can't be there, it would be a good idea to contact one of your fellow students who is going to be there and ask them for explanations if need be. In most cases, we begin the lectures or the teaching at 15:15. There is this academic quarter of an hour, which is a very old Finnish tradition. So instead of beginning at 12:00 sharp, we begin at 12:15. And usually one teaching session is 90 minutes, so an hour and a half, from 12:15 to 1:45. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. It was not the end. It just the system decided that to stop itself. Yeah, sure. Sorry about this. Technology never surprises us, at least not positively. So as I was saying, the methods of the modes of study vary quite a lot, and we have the academic quarter of an hour. An exception is usually made in the morning, as opposed to beginning at 8:15. They usually begin at 8:30, but this is something that will be said in the timetables of the courses, which you cannot see at the moment, but hopefully in a minute you will. I'm just restarting the program, the system. It decided to fall asleep for some reason. Okay. One of the very typical mode of study here is a written assignment, and that is especially typical in faculties like the one I'm working for, so the Faculty of Education and Psychology. Strange. We have very few examinations nowadays in our faculty. At the end of the course, most often, you are supposed to hand in a written assignment. Most typically, this is an essay, a traditional essay, in which you have to use the source material, source literature, refer to it properly, and give it a topic, give it a title. Another very typical, it works, thank you. It functions, thank you.
Yeah, I will do
it. Another very typical written assignment would be a learning diary or a study log. Have you heard of this or have you been doing this? Have you been writing? No. Okay. A learning diary, in a nutshell, is for every contact teaching session, you will write a couple of pages of what you learned from the lecturer and of your own thoughts and ideas regarding this. But they will give you further guidelines for the written assignments during the courses. As you all know, academic writing and academic conventions vary quite a lot from country to country and from discipline to discipline. So, once again, I'm afraid I cannot give you any specific general guidelines for this, just that ask from your teacher and pay attention to instructions. As I said, the teachers should give you the instructions during the first session of the course or using one of the learning platforms that we are using, Coppa or Moodle, nowadays mostly. Please notice that some of the teachers, I hope not too many, still want you to hand in the written assignments on paper. Mostly they are a little bit elderly people. Aren't they? Yeah, well, I love stereotypes, as you know, Lotta. Well, no, not really, but we do have a few teachers who like to have the assignments on paper, but mostly they are submitted via the learning platforms. try to follow the deadlines for the written assignments. The teachers will tell you the times that you have to, the dates that you have to submit your assignments. If you cannot make the deadline, try and contact the teacher well in advance. It's really frustrating when the deadline is today and, you know, 10 students send me a message saying that they can't meet the deadline, because the teachers have booked time for correcting your essays and reading and grading them. And if you can't make it, it sort of, you know, mixes their timetables as well. Plagiarism and fraud are very seriously taken here. So once again, refer to your sources correctly. What is correct and what is customary, once again, varies from field to field, discipline to discipline. For example, in my faculty, the APA style is pretty widely accepted. But this is also something that the teacher should tell you during the first meeting or in the instructions for the written assignments. We have an entire code of conduct for preventing and dealing with fraud and plagiarism. I suggest you get acquainted with these instructions. Every year, unfortunately, we have a few cases in which our visiting students are guilty of plagiarism, and Finnish students, of course, as well, but anyway. So we use a special software for detecting plagiarized content. It's called Turnitin, and it is sort of automatically used in the learning platforms like Coppa and Moodle. Okay. Quickly about the examinations. We have several different kinds of examinations. We have lecture exams, which in some courses take place at the end of the contact teaching. So usually the dates for examination and the resit are included in the course timetable in CISU. It is possible that there is a separate registration for examination, or tenti as it is in Finnish, in CISU system. But in some other courses, you just sign in for the course and you are automatically registered for the examination as well. If you can't attend the lecture examination date, please contact the teacher in advance if the research is not possible for you either. Then we have book examinations, and there are sort of two different types of book exams. It can either be a part of the course with contact teaching, so you have, let's say, six lectures, and then you have to read one or two books, and you are supposed to, you know, write an essay on the lectures but sit an examination on the book. Or it can be the only mode of study for an independently completed course, which is the case, for example, in some courses in psychology. Just about everything in psychology is possible to do by doing an independent book examination. So you just read the books and sit the examination. We have book examinations can be taken usually on general examination days, and each faculty has at least one examination date per month. And the registration takes place still in our old system, Korppi, for this academic year. Once again, ask your faculty coordinator for help. And usually the registration takes place like 1 week or 10 days before the exam date. I have also included some information about what to do during the examination day, but I'm not going to go into details here because you can read these instructions online. A second type of examination or completing, for example, the book examinations is an e-examination. And we have two places, two rooms in which you can sit e-examinations. One is in Agora building and the other one is in building X, just behind us here. And you can see the opening hours here. Please note that not all the examinations are available as e-exams, and I think the extent of the availability of examinations as e-exams varies quite a lot from faculty to faculty. I know that, for example, in the Department of History and Ethnology, they have quite a few examinations available as e-exams. But, for example, in our faculty, in some subjects, basically, well, almost nothing is available as an e-exam. But this e-examination system gives you a bit more flexibility regarding your studies, because basically you can sit the exam anytime the exam rooms are open and there are vacancies. There is a special software called e-examination in which you have to register for the course, for the exam, and book you a time slot for completing the exams. And you can sign in, you can register for an examination maximum 60 days prior to your planned examination date. But your tutors will explain this to you, and also, once again, your faculty coordinator will be able to tell you whether they have any courses available as e-examinations or not. In general, it's possible to retake exams, but please note that in principle you should pay attention to the no-shows. If you don't attend the examination when you have registered for the exam, or when you fail it, if you do it twice, you should contact the teacher and negotiate your, you know, third option or third possibility. Okay. It's not customary to buy your books here in Finland. People just borrow them from the library. And even though we have nowadays a lot of e-books available, some of the materials are still hard copies, and there is a limited number of these books in the library. By the way, the university main library is under reconstruction at the moment, so the university library is functioning in two temporary locations, in Mattilanniemi and Ylistö. So if there are a lot of people sitting the same examination at the same time, you might have to wait for the book a little bit. So take this also into account when you are planning your studies. Don't leave everything until the last minute, like I always do. Okay. Finally, very quickly, because of the technical problems, I'm running out of time. I'm also running my mouth a bit, so that's another reason for that. So, assessment and grades. Our work, or your work here, is assessed within 2 weeks of submission or taking the exam. And please notice that the 2 weeks is after the deadline of the submission. So if you submit your work early, the teacher is not obliged to read it within 2 weeks of your submission, but within 2 weeks of the sort of official deadline for submission. This is our grading scale and the corresponding equivalent ECTS grading scale grades as well. And as I said, our grading scale runs from 0 to 5, 0 being fail, and 5 being the best grade, the highest grade A. Some courses, like for example the practice courses in our faculty, are graded only pass or fail. And unfortunately, it is not possible, at least not in our faculty, to change these pass or fail scales, pass or fail grades into numeric grades. So if your home university does not accept this pass or fail grading scale, you have to choose another course. Okay. If you fail your exam, if you fail your course, talk to the teacher and agree on a reassessment, unless it is a very clear case of having a resit on an examination. Everyone can get a 5 if everybody is doing a good work. So no bell curve, no normal distribution. And they are not dependent on your fellow students' grade. So whatever you get, it's based on your performance, not of your fellow students' performance in that course. And as I said earlier, the teacher should explain their criteria for assessment usually during the first session of the course. If they don't, you can ask. I suggest you do, because it should be clear for you what is expected of you and what is used as the basis of criteria. And last but not least, where to find the results. In the new CISO system, you can see them in your study plan, or then in the right side of the page, there is this My Profile, and then there is the completed credits. And I have included an example here. This is the basic studies in special education. Here is, you know, the grade 4 for the entire basic studies UPS MTT. And here are the grades for the individual courses. You can see 5, 4, 4, 4, 3, and so on and so on. So this is what you will see eventually in your CISO system when you manage to log on to it and create your study profile there. At the end of your stay here in June, we are going to send out the official transcript signed and stamped by the university representatives to the addresses you mention in your departure information form in Mobility Online. This is usually taking place around the 20th, 21st of June, something like that. But you can follow your progress all the time in CISO. And please note that the courses that you decide to drop out of, or you fail, or you cancel your participation in, they will not appear in your transcript of records. So if you fail a course, there are no traces of it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry to finish a little bit in the middle of everything. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer very quickly. Okay, I've been talking too much, obviously. So thank you very much and welcome. With many of you, I'm going to meet you tomorrow for the faculty session.